We're living in a time when many essays argue rather than illuminate, but illumination is inspiration for the writings of Lawrence Wechsler, from the light of human conscience in places like the Balkans to the light that falls on Los Angeles. Mr. Wechsler is a longtime New York writer who's now director of the New York Institute for the Humanities of New York University. A new collection of his essays and profiles has just been published by Pantheon Books. It's called Vermeer in Bosnia. Lawrence Wechsler joins us now from our studios in New York. Ren, thanks very much for being back with us.
Good to be back, Scott.
I want to ask you about what I take to be the couple of title essays, Vermeer in Bosnia. You were sitting in The Hague covering the War Crimes Tribunal and grasped something as you sat there that bridges the distance between your reporting experience in the Balkans and then sitting in that vast courtroom in The Hague, something that seemed to you to be key in the work of Johannes Vermeer, often called the Master of Delft.
Yeah. Well, what actually happened was I was talking with the head judge, an Italian named Cassese, the first of the head judges, and I was asking him how he kept from going crazy with all these horrifying things that kept coming over his desk. And he replied that as often as possible, he went to the Mauritshuis, the museum there in The Hague, to look at the three Vermeers, which include the view of Delft and most famously the head of a young girl, the girl with a pearl earring. And it was strange when he said that, and it was the first time I ever thought about this about Vermeer, I suddenly realized that when Vermeer was painting those paintings, which are for us the very epitome of peace and centeredness, all of Europe was Bosnia, or had only just recently ceased to be. I mean, they were coming out of the 30 Years' War. And in fact, when I then went over to the Mauritshuis to look at the paintings, I had another jolt where I suddenly realized that's what those paintings are about. That, for example, when, you know, famously there's those maps on the wall that you have light flowing across the room, across the map. I mean, that is not just wallpaper in a painting. In Holland at that moment, a map of Holland is about Catholics and Protestants. It's about incredibly contested terrain. And then beyond that, Vermeer in a profound kind of way can be said to be retreating to this room and inventing peace. And the way that peace is invented, and this is what had so much relevance going back to the War Crimes Tribunal, is that for the first time in history, you have paintings of people, and particularly women, portrayed as completely autonomous. They aren't symbolic of anything. Those are pictures of authentic individuals in the fullness of their own lives. And that's what's missing when a place like Bosnia suddenly descends into a world where people aren't people, but rather Turks, Croats, Serbs. And that was the great, great moral invention of Vermeer.
And the implication is that even if the world isn't serene, people can bring serenity into their own lives.
Or that in a time of storm, you can't let the storm enter you. You have to find peace inside yourself and breathe it out.
Is there a theme of light that runs through at least several of these essays?
I think maybe light, wonder, exile.
Let me ask you about an essay in here that I guess was the preface to an exhibit of space probe photographs called Why is the Human on Earth? If you don't mind reading another author's work, a wonderful essay by your daughter.
The teacher has her child address a simple question in the form of an impromptu essay. Why is the human on Earth? I believe that there is, despite the fact that we humans have done so much damage to the world, a reason for our existence on this planet. I think we are here because the universe, with all its wonder and balance and logic, needs to be marveled at. And we are the only species, to our knowledge, that has the ability to do so. We are the one species that does not simply accept what is around us, but also asks why it is around us and how it works. We are here because without us here to study it, the amazing complexity of the world would be wasted. And finally, we are here because the universe needs an entity to ask why it is here. Not bad.
That's wonderful. Let me ask you about, for those people who follow your writing and treasure it, I guess 1998 you wrote an essay that is reprinted here for The New Yorker, as I recall, on the quality of light in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Now, you begin, almost improbably, with, I think it can safely be said, you had a singular reaction while watching
the O.J.
The O.J. Simpson.
Bronco chase. I was, remember it was taking place in the Golden Hour in Los Angeles. And since it was the Golden Hour in Los Angeles, in New York, where I now live, it was dark. And the camera's going up and down. And I just was overwhelmed. And my daughter looked up at me and she said, "Daddy, you know, what's wrong? Did you know that guy?" And I said, "No, I don't know that guy. No, it's that light."
Now tell us about this light. A light without shadows.
Well, it's extremely strange light, and it's not for nothing that Hollywood is there and so forth. It has everything to do with various things, but partly with the geography. You have one of the fastest rises from basin to mountaintop anywhere in the world. Because of that, you also have a northern hemisphere west-facing coastline, which means that the water is coming down from Alaska. The water of the Pacific is very cold, and it's abutting a desert, which is the other thing. So you have very strange kind of climactic conditions, which means that the air in L.A. is extremely still, which is why you also have some of the greatest telescopes in the world. It has to do, oddly enough, stars don't twinkle in L.A.
Because the air is so still?
The air is so still.
Let me. You end the essay on L.A. light talking about your grandfather.
Yeah.
It was a composer of note.
My grandfather, Ernst Toch, who was a great Weimar-era composer. In L.A., the émigrés back in the time when Mann and Schoenberg and everybody lived there in the 40s used to tell the story about two dachshunds walking on the palisade in Los Angeles. And one says to the other, "You know, it's true. Here I'm a dachshund, but in the old country I was a St. Bernard." And my grandfather was a St. Bernard in the old country. He wasn't chopped liver in America. He was did some wonderful film composing, got all kinds of Academy Award nominations and so forth. But he never was quite as famous as he was. In any case, he had this wonderful view looking out, this great window looking out over that L.A. light. And people used to say to him, "Oh, it's no wonder you can be a composer when you're surrounded by this light." And he said, "When I compose, I have to close the curtains."
Was it not to pit himself against it, or because otherwise he wouldn't be able to concentrate?
I think both. I think you lose yourself in it, and in some way you have to shield yourself from it, too.
Ren, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Speaking with us from New York, Lawrence Weschler, his new book, collection of his essays, is called Vermeer in Bosnia.